oxygen's present as well. So we're now starting to couple our water to the other reservoirs. We're now looking at what's going on inside our aqueous water body. Coupling it to the atmosphere, we've got gas exchange, which is a Henry's law thing. So oxygen's dissolving in water, carbon dioxide's dissolving in water, in both directions determined by Henry's law. We have photosynthesis going on in the water body. Our photosynthetic organisms, such as algae, are doing their thing using the dissolved inorganic carbon as a source for carbon. The photons are coming in, providing the energy that are required to fix that carbon and turn it into a complex sugar. So this squiggly brackets around the CH2, that's simply a complex piece of biology in the very simplest form. We'll end up with a slightly more detailed chemical version of a formula for biology down the track, but this is just saying you're building a complex carbohydrate up. Your acid-base chemistry is important in the water, so taking your carbonate, generating bicarbonate, that's an acid-base system. We end up with precipitation and dissolution. So the presence of sufficient carbonate and calcium, its solubility product will ensure that calcium carbonate is precipitated. Biology has a major influence. So not only photosynthesis, but we end up, in this case, with our piece of biology, carrying out a process, and we look at the redox chemistry here. What's the oxidation state in this molecule CH2O on the carbon? Yep, and the carbon dioxide? Don't rush. Four, yeah, plus four, okay. So we've gone from zero to plus four. Is that oxidation or reduction? Don't rush. Oxidation, yeah. Lost ox, remember? You've gone from zero to plus four, yeah. Now, coupled with that has to be a reduction. So over here in the sulfate, what are we looking at? Sulfur? Yep. And over here, what's the name of this beast? No, it's good. You actually tried to do a good thing. You thought because it had an H, it was an acid. This is hydrogen sulfide, okay? But it does behave in a slightly sort of acidic sense. Okay, so in that case, the oxidation state on the sulfur is what? Negative 2, yeah. So we've gone from plus 6 to negative 2, so that must be adding 8 electrons. That's a big time reduction, yeah? Okay, so that's a typical thing then. It's carried out by microbiology. These guys then are using the redox electrons to do some work. So that Nernst equation stuff we did in first year was priming you for the fact that when we do electrochemical reactions, we are creating a change in the energetic situation, and in this case the bugs are taking advantage of it to do what they need to do. They actually use the Gibbs free energy that's involved. And then just a straightforward redox process in the water without the bugs being involved, so we can go from ammonium through to nitrate simply by the redox characteristics of the water. The other bits and pieces that the bugs are doing ensure that this particular molecule then, we look at the oxidation state. Here on our nitrogen, we can see that this one's 3-, yeah, and over here, when we look at this oxygen here, we can see that that one's 5+. Okay, so we've carried out that oxidation due to the redox characteristics of the water. This thing will be coupled, okay? It'll be coupled to other processes. So, in essence, the water body becomes, the redox characteristics become determined by what the dominant redox couple is in that water. So whether this thing is able to go through an intermediate step or not will depend on the other bits and pieces that are floating around. So what I'm trying to do at the moment is highlight that the water body is not a very simple system. We study very simple systems in first year chemistry. Now you go to real water body, you stand no chance of getting right if you leave out the biology, because they're doing an awful lot of chemistry in the water. You see, this is changing the oxygen concentration there, that's an oxidant. This is changing the redox components in the water body. Then you've got to consider your KSPs of all the different components that are present, because this will be equilibrium driven. You've then got acid base and redox processes determined by whatever these guys are helping to do to ensure the background conditions. And then finally in the mix, we've got complexation with our humic and fulvic acids that definitely determine the free metals floating around. So it's a complex sort of system if you're trying to understand it properly. At the bottom of our water body, we've got a sediment. That sediment then will be exchanging with the water above it, so we end up with uptake of material from the water body to the sediment, and then we end up with leaching, which is quite common, where the water percolates, in particular like at the bottom of the ocean, percolates through the sediment, strips the elements there, and goes back up into the water body. So you end up with highly leached sediments at the bottom. And then our colloids, which are these small particles, they're floating around in solution, they've got a very high surface area, so they're under constant chemical attack, and they can carry out catalytic processes. So that's our sort of overview of the complicated situation that's going on.